This Bible talk, titled Division Over Opinions, is on Romans chapter 14. It's the final sermon in our series on conflict, A House Divided, and it was given at Rabbeinu on Sunday, the 11th of September, 2022.
An Arabian wise man rode his camel across the Arabian desert, where he came upon an oasis. And there he found 17 camels and three men in tears. The wise man asked the three men what seems to be the problem. "Our father whom we love has died," they said, "and in his great love for us, he's left us 17 camels to be divided amongst us." His last will and testament was very, very clear, very specific instructions about how to divide the camels. The oldest son is to get half, the middle son is to get one third, the youngest son is to get one ninth. However, we cannot divide 17 by 3. So we are very confused and we are very sad and we do not know what to do. The Arabian wise man pondered their predicament for a moment and then he said to the men, "Here, take my camel." "We cannot possibly take your camel," the eldest son exclaimed to the wise man, but the wise man insisted. Now there were 18 camels to divide between them. The eldest son was to get half. 18 divided by 2 is? How are we going this morning, friends? 18 divided by 2 is? 9 camels. The answers are on the board. Come on. The middle son was to get one third. 18 divided by 3 is? 6 camels. And the youngest son was to get one ninth. 18 divided by 9 is? 2 camels. So 9 plus 6 plus 2 equals 17. But there was still one camel left over. "Now that you're all happy with your inheritance," said the Arabian wise man, "perhaps I could get my camel back." Friends, when it comes to division and disputes, when it comes to having differences, differences of opinion, sometimes creativity is needed to work things out between us. There doesn't always have to be winners and losers. We can collaborate, we can cooperate, we can compromise. There are other ways to resolve issues. We can be equipped to better manage conflict. It doesn't have to be them or me. It doesn't have to be my way or the highway. It doesn't have to be, "Thus says the Lord," every time you speak. Conflict can create division, but it doesn't have to. Remember, conflict is inevitable, but it's combat that is optional. And so our differences can be opportunities for growth. It all depends on how you view the conflict. Almost anything can cause conflict, especially amongst Christians. Christians have differing views on lots of things: alcohol, education, politics, governance, mission and music, Bible translations, baptism, Sunday sacraments, and the Sabbath. And that's just our church. We disagree with lots of things here at Salt Church. In a group this size, there's going to be differences, disagreements. We're always going to have differing opinions. But it's not that we disagree that matters. It's how we respond when we disagree that matters most. Romans 14 and 15, Paul addresses differences of opinion between the Christians in Rome. We can dispute disputable matters. That's what makes them disputable. But what matters isn't that we dispute, but how we handle the dispute that matters most. On matters of opinion, it's a matter of choice. Some things are simply matters of personal judgment. But on disputable matters of opinion, don't judge others for their judgment, says Paul, because God is the judge of all people. Welcome people who differ from you, because God welcomed you when you differed from him. And we're finishing our series on conflict this morning, an equipping series to help us be able to better handle conflict together. Not just for dealing with church conflict, though, but everyday conflict in every area of our life, because conflict, you'll know after 9 weeks, is everywhere, and conflict by now, hopefully you know, is normal. When conflict arises, this series was designed to equip and help us live as mature disciples. And whenever there's conflict of any kind, friends, it's usually over a difference of opinion. That's the very definition of a conflict. That's what conflict is, when people have incompatible interests, goals, principles, or feelings. That is a conflict. Whenever there's a conflict, there will be a difference of opinion. But we can still remain united together. The book of Romans tells us that we're all in the same boat. Paul tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that all of us are under God's judgment because of it. Jews and Gentiles, we're all the same, says Paul. There is no difference between us. God, who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, gave us his spirit and calls us his sons so that we can call God our Father. There's no condemnation, says Paul, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so in view of God's mercy to us, in light of Jesus' imminent return, Paul says we are to accept the weak. Welcome those who are weak in the faith. See it with me, Romans 14, verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything while the other person eats only vegetables. Well, of course they're weak. They only eat vegetables. Seriously, get some red meat into you. You don't win friends with salad. Salad is what real food eats. That is not what Paul is saying. It's not what he's saying. Acceptance doesn't mean putting up with it. Acceptance doesn't mean protesting silently. Acceptance doesn't mean blowing up every few months until you finally get your own way. Welcome means acceptance. Receive others into our homes, welcoming people into our hearts. Welcome those in the faith, says Paul. But not everyone and not every issue is to be welcomed. Paul's not promoting universal tolerance. We don't have to accept everything and everyone. We welcome those, see it there, who are in the faith. Welcome others who've been welcomed by Jesus. Don't argue over differences of opinion. Don't dispute the things that are disputable. Let's remember together who it is that unites us. Don't let our differences divide us. You see, says Paul in the book of Romans, we're all in this together. So when it comes to matters of indifference, we welcome those with differing opinions. We welcome differences of opinion because we've been welcomed by Jesus too. We're united together in Christ, so don't be divided over your differences. Whatever it is that you've decided, whether it's about food or about special days, whether it's homeschool or public school or Sunday school, whether it's 10% or whatever you've decided to give, it's simply a matter of conscience, strictly between you and the Lord. When it comes to matters of indifference, there's room for different approaches. Why don't you see that with me in verse 6? The one who observes the day observes it in honour of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honour of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honour of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Whatever it is that you've decided, whatever judgment you've made about the matter, Paul says do it with thanksgiving. See it there? Do it as unto the Lord. See, the Bible isn't written to burden us with rules about everything. Some things are simply up for grabs. They are simply a matter of opinion. The church doesn't exist to dictate the do's and the don'ts to people. Some things are a matter of choice. We're not trying to produce the same person here at Salt Church. Christianity is a process, is not a process of homogenization. We want unity, not uniformity. We are different parts of the body with different gifts, designed to do different things, but we are one body. We're not all the same. We don't all do the same things. And so we all need to make judgment about certain matters. What matters is that you do it with thanksgiving to God, says Paul. Better to do something with thanksgiving in your heart because you've made up your mind to do it than to do it begrudgingly with a hard heart. Thankfulness, not obligation, is what we're after. Compelled, not commanded. Everything needs to be done by faith. We live to please God and not to please ourselves or everyone else. We all need to make decisions about matters of indifference. So whatever it is that you decide, whatever it is that we decide is between us and God. and whatever it is that you've decided means that you're not to be the judge of others' choices. God is the judge of others, not you. Look there, verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Hear what Paul's saying in Romans? We're all in this together. We're all in the same boat here. It's not your place to stand in judgment of me, and it's not my place to stand in judgment of any of you. When we make ourselves the judge of others, we remove God from his throne and take our place there instead. For people who've escaped the judgment of God, for a people who've escaped the judgment of God, which is us, we can be pretty quick to condemn other Christians, can't we? But if we're in Christ, we are God's servants. And so we can only stand before the judge of all men because of the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus makes us stand. Verse 4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. See it very clearly, friends. Our job is not to judge the Lord's servants. Our job is to welcome everyone in the faith. When we insist that other Christians agree with us, when we tell them that they should or that they must, when we complain that he hasn't done this or that she should really go and do that with a life, when we set the benchmark and accept people only when they meet our standards, people will always fall over. They will always stumble over the stumbling blocks that we put in front of them. So whatever it is that you've decided about something, whatever it is, don't destroy others who think differently about it to you, because we're not here to condemn one another. Look there, verse 15. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. You see, our job isn't to destroy each other. It's our job to love one another. Not to tear each other down, but to build each other up. Not to condemn other Christians. Why? Because there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The judge of all men sets you free. So why make someone else a slave of your conscience? Why be taken prisoner by somebody else's conscience? Whatever you decide about something, keep it between you and God. Look there with me, verse 22. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Whatever decision you've made about a disputable matter, do it in faith to please God. But the key here about decision making is pleasing God, not pleasing yourself, not doing it to please others. You might not agree with other people's opinions. You might not like their choices. The good news is, friends, that you don't have to, and we don't have to like your choices either. We are free to do that. Free to make our own choice. Free to have our own opinion. So rather than arguing the toss about it, and rather than going on and on and on and on about it in order to convince us, when it comes to disputable matters, know that you're free to have your own opinion. And because you're free to have your own opinion, we can get on with encouraging one another. Look there, verse 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The principle here is love, isn't it? It's other person-centered. The kingdom of God isn't about division. It's about righteousness, joy, and peace. Not about how we can get our own way, but how we can build one another up. Not to destroy our gospel unity over non-gospel issues. Don't destroy others over matters that simply don't matter. when it comes to matters of indifference, let's be a church that is indifferent about differences of opinion. Let me say it for you again. When it comes to matters of indifference, let's be a church that is indifferent about differences of opinion. During the Vietnam War, spokesman for the US State Department, Robert McCloskey, said this: "I know that you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realise that what you heard is not what I meant." It is really easy to have misunderstandings, isn't it? Misunderstandings can cause division, especially if we have strong convictions about something. So let's all be very, very clear about this together now. Welcome everyone in Christ. When it comes to matters of opinion, keep your opinion between you and God. Don't judge those who serve Jesus. Only God judges his own servants. Our job isn't to judge each other. Our job is to encourage each other in the things that matter. And so the obvious question becomes, what makes something a matter of opinion? What is and what isn't a disputable matter? Well, before we clear all that up, Paul has this to say to those who are strong. See it with me, chapter 15, verse 1. "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good and to build him up." If others hold a differing opinion to you, you should bear with them. That's what the passage is saying, isn't it? Not leave church in a fluster, not gather a group of supporters around you, but be patient because God is patient with you. Not insisting that we come around to your way of thinking on everything. Matters of opinion are simply that. They are not worth breaking fellowship over. Not living to please ourselves, but living to please our neighbour. Not being self-serving, but serving for the other's good. Because that's what Jesus did, isn't it? That's what the scriptures do for us. They serve our growth. God's servants always live for the benefit of his people. See it for yourself, chapter 15, verse 3. "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So we serve to build up one another. And we suffer for the encouragement of others, and we endure for others' hope. If you think you're right about something, lovingly serve those of us who you think are still wrong. And if you see yourself as strong in the faith, keep it to yourself and serve those who are weak. Because we're all in this together. Verse 5. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we are different people. You only need to look around the room to see that. We're different people. We have different stories and different opinions, and everyone has an opinion, but we are one people in Christ Jesus to bring glory to God. One body, not separated by our differences, but joined together by the one who welcomes us. One mind on the matter that matters most, because what matters isn't our opinions. What matters is God's opinion of us. Romans 15, verse 7. "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." You see, the thing that matters most isn't your opinion of me. And the thing that matters most isn't my opinion of you. And the thing that matters most isn't our opinions. The thing that matters most is God's opinion of us. The matter that matters isn't made by our judgments. It's made by the judge of all mankind. What matters is that we're accepted by God. Do you know how liberating that is? To be who you are in Christ and to be yourself, that is incredibly liberating. When we accept Jesus, God accepts us. And so who are you to condemn others? Look again at how God welcomes us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What matters is what the eternal judge says. What does he say? What does he say about you? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We all stand before the judgment seat of God. We will all give an account of ourselves to him. That is the basis on which we are accepted by God, the man Jesus Christ. And that is the basis on which we accept one another. When we walk through the door, we leave our preferences there in order to welcome one another into our hearts and into our homes and into our lives. Because you see, friends, when you love Jesus and his people, and you are loved by Jesus and his people, everything else is simply a matter of opinion. Will you pray with me? Now, Father, it seems appropriate that we begin with confession and repentance. And so we ask for your forgiveness of us for the times we've judged your people. That we've held others in condemnation and in contempt because of what they think or what they do or how they behave or the way they operate over matters that don't matter. We can be a condemning people. We are guilty of judging others. And for this we ask for your forgiveness. Help us not to be like the unforgiving servant, but to remember that we've been servants who've been forgiven. Help us to remember that we've been accepted by Jesus, not because of the things that we do, but because of all that he has done for us. Would you humble us, Lord Jesus, as a church, to stop thinking that we can be so proud that our opinions are right and that everybody else is wrong, or that everything has to be done the way that we think or the way that we want. Instead, would you help us to be people who leave our opinions at the door in order to love one another well? Thank you that you welcomed us, our Father. Thank you that there is no condemnation for us because we are in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we are loved by you, and so we are free to love each other. Would you help us to be that church, a church that loves one another, not divided over silly things, over preferences, over opinions, over choices, but united together because of your incredible love for us. Help us to welcome each other into our lives and into our hearts and into our homes, because you've welcomed us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.